Yours, mine, and ours. My name is Gabrielle Cardona. I'm a success and relationship coach. I've been in practice for 15 years, and all of my clients keep coming back to me with the same questions. How do I make the relationships in my life more successful? Having a great job is great. Having a lifestyle that's comfortable, that's nice. Having enough financial security to relax, that's nice too. Who wouldn't want that? But everything always comes back down to the quality of our life being based on the quality of our relationships. But what is a relationship made out of? Well, there are the two people that comprise the relationship, but then the third element is what they create together as a couple, as a dynamic. And we all know that what we are separately is different than what we are together. So this show is about how to become a better quality person, separate from everyone else, to draw high quality people to you. When you come together, you both become better people as an entire entity, an us. Now we all know, we've all heard the principle, there's more joy in giving than there is in receiving. We all know it's in the Bible. We all know that different religions around the world embrace that as a principle. Science has shown we actually have a biochemistry around giving. We have happy hormones like serotonin and oxytocin that generate inside of us when we give and when we share. But you know what? That's just not a common occurrence anymore because the things that we've created in our life through technology and different developments, they've actually isolated us and made us more selfish. We don't want to be around other people. We don't want to interact with other people. And we certainly don't think about other people the way maybe we did as we were going through our daily life, paying attention to the people around us, being aware of them and sensitive to them. But when we're talking about giving, truly giving, what's more valuable than our time and attention, our thoughts and our feelings? Material objects are great. Money, you know what? Everyone's pretty excited when they think about getting more money. But really, how vital is giving to success and happiness of the human soul, not just the body? But you know what? Let's take a step back. What's a gift? What does it truly mean to give? What would you say? Well, a gift, it's something of value that someone shares to make someone else's life better. So, what does that mean, really? Well, when we're talking about giving, it has to come from an original source that's of quality. Because when it's given, it brings that quality into the life of someone else. Okay, so what if you're giving something and it's not really valuable in a monetary way, but it could make the quality of someone else's life better? If it's not of value in an emotional way or in a mental way, in a truly spiritual way, then it's not a gift because it's not a sacrifice, really, on the part of the giver. So now, if you're thinking about things that you have given or that other people have given you, here's a question to ask yourself. Would you want, or would someone else want, whatever it is that was available, separate from the person? Well, like what? Food. You know what? My husband, very, very Hispanic man, they love to, the moment you walk into their home or step into their social circle, they offer you food. You know what? Food is a really, really good thing. We all need food. And you know what? Even if we don't like that particular food, we probably would at some point say, yeah, I really do like that. And I would eat that or drink that. So if, separate from the person, that particular offering is something of value, that's a good example of a gift. Now, ask yourself the question, are you willing to be good to the person offering it, in spite of maybe negative feelings that you have for them, by accepting that? If you're not willing to accept a gift because you don't like the person, then you're not really able to give. What does that mean? You are denying the person the opportunity to have the experience of more joy in giving than in receiving. It is your responsibility as a healthy person to receive the gifts that are being offered. If you're not ready to do that, then there's something going on. You need help becoming healthy in order to do that. So before we take our first break here, we're going to be talking today about some thought-provoking questions. How often do the people in your life offer you things? Time, attention, labor, objects? What people, friends or family, coworkers or strangers, offer you these kinds of things? Well, what kinds of things do they offer you consistently? And how often do you accept them? How often do you need the things that you actually reject? Why do you reject things if they're offered to you? And how often do you offer people things and time and attention? How often do the people in your life accept the things that you offer? The question to ponder here: how often do we think we're doing someone a favor by not taking what they've offered? What if it's a stick of gum, a drink that they're buying at the store as well, a ride somewhere instead of having to walk? How often do we really just not want it? But how often do we just not want them? We're going to take a real quick break. This is yours, mine, and ours.
BBSRadio.com.
Welcome back to Yours, Mine, and Ours. So what are we talking about today? Well, it's the gift of acceptance. A gift is something you give to someone, but how often is accepting what someone offers you truly the gift? Is there more joy in giving than there is in receiving? Do you want to give someone that joy? Experience the pleasure of sharing something. Well, what again is the definition of giving? It's making a personal sacrifice for someone else's happiness. Now, a sacrifice, if we really think about that, what that means, it's a willingness to let go of what's important to us. That could be our time, it could be our talent or ability, or our resources. Sometimes just attention. Like, think about when you were at a friend's house and their young child came up to you with a great big grin on their face and they offered you a rock that they colored from the backyard and it was so beautiful and they looked up with you, those eyes, they looked up at you and offered you that rock. What did that rock represent to that child? It could be something very heartfelt because it was something they thought was beautiful, or they spent time actually making it what they thought was more beautiful, or a picture that they drew. If they had those feelings, and if they really truly put that personal investment in whatever it is that they were offering, it was a sacrifice because it truly was a part of them. And they gave it to you because you meant something very special. But what it also means is sensitivity as an awareness of other people's needs and desires. Well, you know what? Sometimes it's not just like a child giving you a picture. It actually is something of value. But if you don't know what's important to other people, you're not necessarily going to give them what they need. It's very important to be sensitive and aware of others' needs and desires. Well, that requires knowing what their thoughts and their feelings are before we offer them something that is, again, of genuine value. That means it needs to be of high quality. That means it needs to be sincere. Now, how can we respond to other people's needs? How can we know what their needs are? We need to be aware of what they're thinking and how they're feeling while we go through the daily activities of our own life. Well, that right there can be a lot of work, because if we're thinking about what we're going through and what we're doing and how we are feeling, being aware of other people's needs can be a job in and of itself. It is a sacrifice. It is a gift just to pay attention to other people's needs and then take the time to learn how to respond to those needs. That is a huge gift. Sharing our own time and attention and energy in the form of thinking about others is truly a gift. But when we're thinking about daily life, the lifestyle that we have in this day and age, in this world, remember how long ago, not sure how old you are, but I remember a time when manners were instilled in people, and they were actually mandatory. Men had to open the door for women. Sometimes, you know, just letting someone go first, that was pretty standard. Not anymore. Like something I really like about the Hispanic culture, they actually greet an entire group of people when they enter a room full of people. They even hug and kiss and shake hands. They verbally interact. Now, it's not a great big interaction, but it's a, hi, how are you doing? It's good to see you, with a genuine smile. There's a respect for women and the elderly, genuinely valuing them as people. But things that have gone on socially in this country and expanding around the world have distorted the value of giving, because it actually makes people defensive and hesitant to do things that before were just considered nice. People are actually suspicious of your motives when you offer them something nice, and they don't know whether they should trust you or not, because we've become very isolated as people. Why are you talking to me? What? No, that's okay. Taking a step back instead of a step towards the people. Well, when we think about times that you actually were wanting to interact with someone, you felt an urge, a motivation to be sweet, to be friendly, to do something nice. Do you stop yourself? How did it feel to stop yourself? Wouldn't you really have liked it if you could have done that for them? Moving towards a person and sharing something of value to you with that person, and then having them accept it and appreciate it and become a better person as a result of what you are doing. It's about quality. It's not about quantity. It could be something very, very small, but it's very important. Now, again, what's healthy? Well, what things do we need? Food and clothing and shelter. But there are also things we want. They're not necessarily good for us. So be careful. When you're offering something to someone, be aware. Is what you're offering them healthy for them? And is it healthy for you? Would you want the thing that you're giving someone else? Should you have the thing that you're offering someone else? That's a truly important question. Making someone feel good actually may be just spending time with them, actually listening to them when they speak. It doesn't have to be a physical act or a physical object. Time and attention is important because as people, we do need that. How often do we go into a restaurant or store and we see people on their cellular phones interacting either just with an electronic device or with another person on that electronic device in a non-personally interactive way? What's the difference between talking to someone and texting them? Obviously, if we're with someone, we can feel them, we can give them our energy, we can do things interactively, personally. But with technology, the human element has been completely erased. How often do you find yourself checking your phone even when someone's talking to you? A gift? Something truly of value is your undivided attention, not letting your mind drift while you're talking to someone or listening to someone, and actually caring about what they're saying. How about cooking a meal? I've always told my husband the only reason I don't like cooking is because I don't like cleaning up afterwards. For me, I'm fine. I'm absolutely fine cooking his favorite food. I just really don't want to do the dishes afterwards. For me, the sacrifice is the cleaning and the doing the dishes. He loves the meal, but the true gift is doing what I don't want to do. That's what we need to start thinking about when we have people doing things for us in our life. That begs the question, what really is something of value to someone else, even if it's not necessarily of value to us? That means we need to start thinking about people in a different way. Now, one of the things that I love to talk to people about, my husband delivers food for Uber Eats. Sometimes I even go with him on deliveries just because it's so fun to see how people respond when their food shows up at the door. I cannot tell you how excited people get when I bring them their cold, really overpriced food. They'll actually pay $30 for a delivery of an $8 meal just because they want to keep working at their job. At their office at $150 an hour because you know what? It's not about the money, it's about the time. And sometimes the tip that they give is just because you were happy and funny and fun when you brought them the really cold and overpriced food. But that also then makes you wonder, is what people are doing for you perfunctory, like a delivery job? Or is it sincere? Now, some societies are very strict about social protocol. Everyone just does it because they have to. But that's actually potentially harmful to people, the giver and the receiver. So ask yourself if what you're doing is real or just out of habit. Is it coming from a benevolent source and unselfish intentions, which is the quality of your soul separate from the person that you're giving to before the act of generosity ever happens in the first place? What kind of person are you in life? What is the quality of your generosity in general? How much do you give yourself to the person while you're giving them the gift? Okay, so we're thinking about the giving. Well, what happens when someone else is giving to us and we accept? Do our lives actually become better? Well, maybe. Well, what was given to you? Do you actually use the thing that was given? Do you appreciate it for its inherent natural value? Well, what's a better life? What does that mean? Your life becomes better? Well, some things we can agree on are the feelings that we feel as we're going through our day, just doing the regular, normal daily activities. Are you in a good mood? I'm sorry, I don't understand the question. What was the question? I can't tell you how many people really have to stop and think about What does it feel like to be happy in a good mood throughout the day? Well, just take some time and take a step back and watch yourself from a distance as you go through life. What kind of things do you need and use in your daily life? What things actually make the quality of your life better? What things actually reduce the quality of your life, but you're just so used to having them, you really want to keep them, keep having them, keep using them? What makes your life truly better? The life of a giver becomes better because the act of giving is, in fact, unselfish and generous. Well, how did that child feel when we accepted their gift? How did they feel when they were creating it for us? How does someone feel when they're creating a surprise for you, like a party or a gift? And how do they feel when we accept it? How do they feel when we love it? How do you feel when you care truly about someone enough to sacrifice what means the most to you, your time, your attention, which is your thoughts and your energy, your other resources? How do you feel? How do they feel? And how does that change the way you interact not only with each other, but everyone else in your life? We're asking all of these questions because we're going to start opening up the lines in a few minutes. Before we do, just going to ask one more question. What happens when we reject? Actually, it's pretty intense for both people, the giver and the receiver. We feel negative energy. We create friction between ourselves. Even if we're not feeling bad before the offering, the gift was even brought up. But as a result, in order to say no, you have to generate negative energy inside of yourself. Then the exchange of negative energy hangs for a period of time after the interaction is over. It affects how we feel, it affects how they feel, and it affects how we will both continue to interact with others. We've actually created negative energy because there's hurt and embarrassment in rejection. They're worried. They begin to doubt themselves. What's wrong? Why didn't they want it? Don't they love me? Don't they want me? Not just little kids think that. Not just babies feel that way. Even as adults, we still have social anxieties and we're still very emotionally vulnerable, just like we were as children. One of the biggest things I had to learn being married to my husband, when someone offers you a food or a drink in their home, the worst thing you could say to them is no. It doesn't matter if you're not hungry. It doesn't matter if you're not thirsty. What they're offering you is a part of their soul. You need to accept the gift and what's behind it and what's involved in it, as well as the object or the service or the activity, because there's the person separate from the offer. Okay, so we're going to take another quick break, and when we come back, we're going to open up the lines to our listeners. Again, the thought-provoking questions that we can ask ourselves. Ask yourself, how often do the people in your life offer you things like attention, time, labor, objects? What people in your life do that? Friends, family, coworkers, strangers? What kinds of things do they offer you consistently that you've noticed in your life? And how often do you accept them? How often do you reject them? And most importantly, what kind of things do you offer? How often do you offer them? And how do people react? This is yours, mine, and ours. I'm Gabrielle Cardona. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Yours, Mine, and Ours. I'm Gabrielle Cardona, success and relationship coach. We're going to go ahead and open up the lines now. If you're interested in asking questions or sharing thoughts and ideas, the number is 888-627-6008. So now we're asking some questions about how often do the people in your life offer you things of value? What people do that the most often? And how often do you accept them? How often do you actually think you're doing them a favor by saying, no, that's okay, you go ahead and keep it? How often do you offer people things, and how often do other people accept what you offer? Well, you know what? Sometimes it just isn't comfortable. It's an awkward situation, even if when what they're offering you is what you want. Do you feel uncomfortable acknowledging that you want or need that thing? It's important to feel genuinely good when you take something, like from a baby, like from a child, if they offered you something that was really special and important to them, and they were offering it with their whole heart and soul. Wouldn't you just love the fact that they did that? Even if it was something, what, like a rock or a really ugly drawing, wouldn't just the act in and of itself be important? Would you ever look at that child and go, I don't want that. Oh my God, that's the ugliest thing I've ever seen. Of course not. It would destroy them. And it would to an adult too. It would actually hurt them, and it would harm them in a permanent and profound way. So appreciate the act separate from the gift and the person that's coming with that gift. Know that you're going to have and be better in your life as a result of giving someone else that positive emotional experience of giving to you. Now, are you going to use what was given to you? Keep it? That's a very big question. Do you actually need that particular thing? Well, maybe, maybe not. But the contingency is, how important is it going to be for that person to have the knowledge, the belief that you really do value what they gave you? But here's the deal. Everybody is different, and some things are just more important to us than others, but the things that are important to us are not important to other people. So it's important to get really an awareness of other people. And it looks like we have a caller here online too.
Hello.
Hello. Hi. Who am I
Hi,
talking
how are
to?
you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm pretty good.
Nadia?
Nadea.
Nadia. Hi, Nadia.
Nadea.
Okay. All right. So what are your thoughts about giving, just in general?
Well, it's, more blessed to give than receive. I mean, I'm definitely a believer in that.
Well, that's good. That's nice to hear.
But my question was this, and I'm actually going through quite a bit of self-work and, personal growth and all that stuff. And so
Good.
one of the things that one of the things that comes up a lot is giving yourself the room to say no and not accept a gift or something. There's no obligation to accept, because sometimes, you don't want to. So my question is, how do you reconcile that with everything that you were talking about just now? Because I come from an abusive background, and so that's one of the things, as a codependent,
Yes.
you need to learn how to give yourself the room to say no. And so that's my big question with what you're talking about.
Very good. And I think that's an excellent question. I'm so glad you brought that up. Okay. So the questions that I, the qualifications sort of that I alluded to but didn't get into a whole lot of detail, I was hoping someone would actually ask that question, are, first of all, is what's being offered destructive to you or the person offering it? Okay, so that, just go ahead and just take a look at that, because sometimes you, it's a good thing that you have the internal boundaries of saying, no, I'm not going to take that because it's harmful to me to take that. Or actually them giving it to you would be harmful to them, because there are a lot of different things in life that people do in a destructive way to themselves. And they genuinely think that what they're doing by creating pleasure for you, giving that thing to you, is good just because it creates pleasure. But if it's an inherently destructive thing or behavior, you need to be able to say no. But the key is then to be loving as a soul to say, I'm not going to accept this particular thing that you're offering because it's not healthy for me or for you. Okay, now if what we're talking
about... Now would unhealthy include manipulative and...
Extremely, yeah. I'm sorry, yes, extremely. That's very, very unhealthy.
Okay. Just making sure we're covering all bases and being clear on yeah.
Yes. And because that's when it really comes down to a big part of the reason why people do not have that ability to discern when they're being manipulated is because they don't have the connections, the healthy connections with healthy people mm-hmm. in their life. And so the interaction, the positive interaction of, you know what, I'm really having a hard time with this, open communication. You can say to someone, first of all, if what they're offering separate from the person would actually be a good thing. It's the reason for giving it or their method of giving it to you. That's what you're talking about in the way of manipulation. It's not the actual sacrifice.
Right.
It's not the gift. Then what you would actually have a responsibility to say to them, I'm calling you out on this directly and personally. So now you know that I know that you know that I'm calling you out on this. That is the best thing that you can do, because then you're setting down personal boundaries of, I'm not going to allow you to make me an unhealthy soul. That's my gift to you. That is a profound act of love to that person. And
okay.
that person then has the opportunity to say, wow, you just did something huge in my life. I'm going to respond in a profound way. It's entirely their call how they're going to respond, but you've actually done something really powerful to that person by directly communicating that to them.
Yes, it's not typically well received.
Not typically well received.
As profound and loving as it might be, it's not typically well received.
Right. But then what you're also talking about is a relationship where there's a lot of other stuff going on. And if, as a person, you're saying you are learning how to set up boundaries and how to discern and determine what's healthy for you, that is a process that you're going through totally exclusively of that person that has absolutely nothing to do with them. Your confidence and your internal strength, emotional and mental strength that you are getting, you might very well be the person in their life that they need as someone.
The catalyst,
to,
yeah.
Yes, the catalyst. Thank you. And that could be your profound gift to say to yourself, not only am I becoming more healthy and wealthy and powerful in an emotional and personal way, but I'm facilitating that in someone else who might have come to me for just that kind of redirection. We'll call it
as like an example.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I get what you're saying.
Okay.
Yeah, I've learned that codependence is a trauma response too. So it's you know, there's a lot that goes into it. So
yeah.
You know, that's why you know, when I get what you're saying, and it makes a lot of sense, but then there's also that line that is just so used to being blurred.
Yes.
You know,
well, okay,
it's good to make the distinction.
Right. Well, and I guess part of, I'm glad that you said that too, is because the line that's blurred when it comes to just social interaction, what's healthy and what's not healthy as typical mm-hmm. human behavior, as opposed to the personal interaction between two different people. If there's a dynamic between those two people based on an unhealthy behavior, there are the individuality factors of the two separate people. And that's why it's very important to understand that the personality, the true nature of that person, as well as yourself, is key to making that distinction and that determination. It's very important to be mm-hmm. able to say, you know what, if my sister was doing this particular act, it would be a very good thing. But the fact that you're doing this act is a huge red flag. And so having that kind of information and understanding, but that's only going to happen if you truly understand yourself first. And that's, I think, part of what you're talking about too.
Right. I think too, a person's pattern of behavior has a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
You know, because if it's a constant barrage of negativity and abuse in any form or fashion, and then they come in and they try to make nice with, you know, what otherwise would, under, you know, any other circumstances, would be a genuine and nice gesture.
Right. And so then you're talking again the nature of the relationship that really important for people to take into consideration. If there are things that are going on completely separate from that act, having the discernment and the understanding again of, you know, that individual situation, knowing that is going to be key, and then acting on it will be proactive instead of reactive.
Makes sense.
Okay.
Well, thank you for taking my call. You have a blessed day.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. So Nadeya brought up some very important things. How do we know what's really a healthy behavior and what's not a healthy behavior? But more importantly, how are we able to determine the source? Because I've always told my clients, and even my colleagues, that what's a very healthy behavior for one person is actually something, you know, kind of scary from someone else. Not just because of how they're doing it and why they're doing it. It may be a very toxic setting, but also what it means for that person. Okay, so what I'm going to do is just go over really quickly again the different the kind of people and the kind of things that they do. So just if you're curious about, you know what, is this a good thing or is this a bad thing they're doing? Should I accept it or should I reject it? There are definitely times when you need to say no, but you need to say it in a loving and proactive and mature way so that they understand that there is a specific standard that you are going to adhere to in a healthy and proactive way. Okay, so now what a lot of people are familiar with, the Myers-Briggs Type Indicator Personality Profile System, there are four different dispositions. Sensory people are either sensory perceptive or sensory judger. Intuitive people are either intuitive thinker or intuitive feeler. Well, how do you know which one you are? Really quickly, are you sensory or are you intuitive? Well, there's a basic way that you can determine that. How do you focus on life? We have five senses. They're going on all the time, and they're doing all kinds of things. And then we have an intuition, our mind, our subconscious, that's absorbing and assimilating and assembling all of the different things that our senses are creating in the way of experience. We take those experiences apart. We put them back together. We want to understand them. Sensors are very aware of what's going on around them all the time, and they want to be directly interactive and constantly involved with everything that's going on around them in a physical way. They see things out of the corner of their eye. They hear things that are going on in the other room. They want to taste foods that they're pretty sure they're not going to like just to have the experience. Whereas intuitives are very aware of what their thoughts are and what their feelings are. They understand things in a very profound way, and they want to experience life on a deeper level. They could be looking right at the jar of peanut butter in the cupboard and not see it because they're pondering the meaning of life and what that's going to mean for them. in their future when they find their soulmate. I'm sorry, what was I looking for? All right, the peanut butter in front of me. Okay, so are you sensory or are you intuitive? If you're sensory, you like to be aware of the perceiving or the judging, because perceiving or judging is how you carry out the decisions. It's an external function. Sensory perceiver or sensory judger. If you're an intuitive, you're attached to your thinking or your feeling. That is an internal function to make decisions. If you're a sensory judger, you really want to give gifts of stability and consistency and predictability in life. You really do enjoy having those things, those stable and those secure things in life to provide safety and peace for people, because they know what's going on, they know what's going to go on, and you are going to be consistently the one that makes sure that that happens. If you're a sensory perceiver, you're very aware of what's going on around you, but as a perceiver, you're spontaneous and you're flexible and you're, well, for lack of a better word, impulsive. You like to do things at the last minute, and you're confident that you're going to be just fine getting them done that way, and you trust what the situation is right here, right now. You go with the flow, and so you have the ability to get things in life done, sometimes by breaking the rules, but you're okay with it because you know as you can get away with it, you're going to be able to accomplish things above and beyond just the stable and consistent and mundane regular things of life. If you are an intuitive feeler, you are about the genuine concerns of people's happiness. You know what people need, and you want to give them what they need because your decisions are based on creating genuine peace and harmony in the world. You have an ability to respond to people's needs, their genuine thoughts and feelings, because you're aware of people. People are your motivation in life, and giving to them is your personal reward. You have a generosity. And it's natural and it's constant. If you're an intuitive thinker, you're aware of things in a profound way as an intuitive, but as a thinker, you can make decisions based on information, based on rational, logical thought. You have the ability to see things and understand things and appreciate things conceptually in a different way. You can see things and understand things and conceptualize things in an amazing way, in a profound way, and in a very wise way. So what you have to offer the world is different ideas and different concepts and a different perspective, an approach to life and people and choices, experiences that's about making people better on a mental level. Now, if we have four different kinds of people, SJs, SPs, NFs, and NTs, they're all going to offer different kinds of gifts. When you know that the person that you're with is an NF, you can go to them for emotional gifts, support, help, encouragement, and they would love to give that to you. If you went to an NT for that, it might kind of be like pulling teeth. An NT, you know what? They can help you solve any problem because they don't really think it's a problem. That's what life is about. These are different challenges that we can face. Let's talk about it. Let's come up with a creative solution. They're not necessarily going to want to hug you or kiss you the way an NT or the way an NF would. Okay. Now, if you're having a problem, I've really got to get this chore done by the end of the day, but I just don't think I'll have time because something else came up. But you know what? I promise you, you call an SP and say, I got 5 minutes to do 45 minutes of work. An SP can literally do five things at once, and they would love to know that they only have 5 minutes to do 30 minutes of stuff, and they're going to make it fun. If you have a to-do list and you've planned it out, and there's a certain kind of thing that you just have to do in a certain kind of way, a moral responsibility, you go to an SJ, you have to say, this is what I have to do, this is when and where and how I have to do it, could you help me out, they would love it. They love responsibility and they love fulfilling the responsibility that has been committed to. So when you have different people in your life and they're offering you things that they're really, truly good at and they really enjoy doing, that's an expression of their love, you accepting that gift, that talent, that strength, that ability, and saying, not only do I appreciate it, but you've just made my life better, giving who you truly are to me in this way. So think about the people in your life. Think about who you have in your daily life interacting with you. Take an inventory of the things that you need just in a daily functional way. How many people in your life, based on their personality, have access to the things that would make your life run more smoothly? How many of them actually might, you know, have thought of helping you out in that way? But no, that's okay. I know you don't know. They would love it if you let them help you. They would actually love if you reached out to them and said, I really appreciate the amazingness that you are and the wonderfulness that you have to offer. Would you be willing to share your wonderfulness with me to make my life a better place? You have just given them the serotonin and the oxytocin of the experience of giving to you. And you have made your life better by knowing that you've done that. Now, one of my best friends, he is on the other side of the world, so I know that we're not awake at the same times. There are times when I really, really just need someone to sit and listen to me ramble on for 15 minutes about a whole lot of nothing. I know that I can always call my ENFJ friend in England at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning. And of course, after he makes a little joke about how I really should be in bed, he'll say, absolutely, let me go ahead and get a cup of tea and we'll get on Skype. Yeah, that means a lot to me. Has he ever actually done anything? Well, no, he's on the other side of the world. He can't do anything. But knowing that if I ever said, I really want to talk to you, can you talk to me? He would say, absolutely, and I would love it. Now, I have an SJ friend in my congregation. If I asked him to talk, he would absolutely say, yeah, okay, let's talk. And he would be stressing out the whole time because it's just stopping him from doing his responsibilities. I would never go to him for that. Or my SP friend, she is so great. She works at the grocery store across the street. If I ever said to her, you know what, I need a ride somewhere, can you get me a ride? She would somehow find a way to get a break in the middle of her shift. How? I don't know if she does that. She has like this amazing charisma and this amazing gift to pull a rabbit out of the hat. She would absolutely get me to the other side of town in time for me to get my appointment or my delivery or whatever it is that I needed to do. That's invaluable to me. And knowing that she's there, just, quote, if I need her, unquote, that to me is a gift. And so when I see her, I just say, thank you for being an amazing person. That is my gift to her. As an NT, I have a couple people in my life that really, we can match wits. We can have some really great playful banter. That to me is very fulfilling and very satisfying. Sometimes I do need to bounce some ideas off people who are on my same level. I would never go to my SP friend to do that. She would have an ulcer by the end of our hour-long conversation. And she would feel horrible. She would feel terrible that she failed me. And I would just say, what would be the point of that? If you are really resistant, for whatever reason, to accepting others into your life in a personal way, this is the key. The secret to being able to do it genuinely and in a quality way. Get to know others and think about what they do just naturally as people. Get used to the idea of enjoying and appreciating the things that they do separate from them as people, because giving and receiving are actually involving not only the act or the gift, but also the person. Two things indelibly intertwined. Start out with just thinking about the things that you need in your life. You know what? You don't have 24 hours a day, all day, to do everything you want. You're supposed to rest for 8 hours a night. You need to eat healthy food 3 times a day. You do have a to-do list of 8 hours of things to do, right? In addition to your 8-hour job, but then you're in traffic for 2 hours every day to and from work. What do you need in your life? Who do you have in your life? How many people in your life do nice things for you, like open the door? When someone opens the door for you, smile, genuinely stop to appreciate that they have done something for you to be a good person. When you're a mindful, focused person and you see those things and you appreciate them, you're making your own life better. You're making the life of someone else better, because there's more joy in giving than there is in receiving. Sometimes what you're actually giving someone is the acceptance of their gift. Each week in the show, we're going to be talking about different things about relationships. Sometimes a relationship is about one of the individuals and their struggles. Sometimes it's about the dynamics between the two different people as they come together. Sometimes it's just about learning how to be more healthy and proactive in the way you think about life and the way that you function as an individual. When you increase the quality of who you are, you attract more quality to you. When you continue to grow as a person, as an individual, you will have more high quality in your life. You will create it around you, and you're going to make the world a better place. A relationship is about two separate individuals coming together, being the best that they can be, creating something together that is better than the both of them separate. The total value is superior, it's greater than the sum of its parts. I'm Gabrielle Cardona. This is yours, mine, and ours.